Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Marion Raines. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks for everybody joining today. My name is Marion Raines, and I'm the market manager for Software Group Security, and I'd like to welcome you to the next of our series of sales acceleration and progression calls for Tivoli. Today's call is focused on how you can identify opportunities for Tivoli Security. The presentation is going to focus on two areas of top interest to our clients: securing virtual environments and cost-effectively managing user access. Within the meeting invite, you should be able to find the link to the presentation, but if you do have difficulty locating it, please same time me, and I'm happy to send you the link. At this time, I'm going to hand it off to Dinesh Yadov, who is our new security sales leader for North America, and then he's going to hand it off to our presenter, Mr. Bob Kalka. Dinesh, please feel free to say, introduce yourself and say a few words.
Thanks, Marion. Good morning, team. I'm Dinesh Yadav. I recently took over the security, America security team responsibilities from Kevin William. So this is my first call with the team, and I want to take this opportunity to introduce myself. I joined this team from IBM Security Tiger team. And I can tell you this topic today is definitely very, very relevant and hot. In past year and a half working with IBM security team, I've worked extensively with the client teams, client execs, talking to a large number of customers. And I can tell you this is one of the very, very important topic for customers as they look at smart plan initiative driven by IBM, cloud computing. They are looking at using virtualization to consolidate their workloads, cut down costs, power costs, space costs, all those benefits that comes with virtualization. So definitely, as they look at these new initiatives, they have to definitely look at security aspect of this. And I'll say, when I talk to customers, I always find at least half of their environment is virtualized in large number of cases. So with this background, I'd like to hand over to Bob Kalka. And Bob is our director in IBM Security Tiger team, managing channels and talking to a large number of customers, so I appreciate him taking time and joining us on this call. Bob, please.
Yeah, thanks, Dinesh, and we've got kind of a Tiger Team reunion call here. Thanks for everybody for joining. We're definitely going to talk about the type of security today that one would consider to be a low-hanging fruit, and that's good for all of us, obviously, from a prospecting and sales play point of view. There's two particular topics that are kind of those you know going into the client that when you bring up this topic, they're at least going to go, well, yeah, of course I care about that, but what can he actually do for me? And the first topic is virtualization. I mean, you know, there's this magic word called cloud, right? You just say the word cloud and everybody starts listening today, and one of the things they're listening for is, okay, there's a lot of people running around saying cloud stuff, but then just saying it because they know we're going to pay attention. What do you actually have that's meaty, that's really, really solid within there? And fortunately for us, is virtualization is essentially one of the on-ramps to cloud, and most of our clients have done some stuff with virtualization, and most of it's been done with VMware. And so we've got clients that have these strategic initiatives they've done around virtualization, and yet, they just had no idea they were doing this. But every client that has put in, you know, virtualization has essentially opened up a huge gaping security visibility hole. And they just didn't realize it because they had bigger problems, right? They were doing virtualization for all the right reasons. They're saving money and lower power costs and all that other stuff. But they opened this big gaping hole, and they're starting to be called on it now. And so we have the best asset in the industry to actually solve that problem. So this is easy prospecting, and I'll get into this one in a minute. The second one, of course, is cost takeout. Everybody is still, you know, ultra-paranoid economically. You want to make sure that you lower the cost of doing everything. And what's good for all of us is that there's been a maturity in clients' usage of identity and access management technologies that lends itself very well to a cost takeout story. And I'll cover that in the second part of my comments. So there's a presentation that's on the media library and the link for the meeting notice. So go ahead and download that if you haven't already. If you haven't, I'll be properly descriptive so you'll still get a lot out of the call. And I'll go by the slide numbers. So if you jump into the presentation, go to slide number two, these are the two things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about virtualization and cost takeout. And the reason for those, if you go to slide three, is that the studies are showing that this is the real stuff. All right, so innovation, clients are kind of awakening from the economic doldrums to say, okay, all right, we need to grow, but the way we want to grow is intelligently. We're not just going to throw money at problems, is that we want to look at cloud. We want to look at all this stuff. And so here's a great some market analysis from Goldman Sachs, actually, on the left-hand side of slide three, that shows what are the most important initiatives for clients. And notice, security enhancement, server consolidation, server virtualization, PC refresh, and desktop virtualization are the top five. You notice lots of security and virtualization in there. So that's where our clients are investing. And that's just, I mean, look, you don't need to see that bar chart to know that your clients have all done virtualization, but it's just a proof point that helps you articulate it if you need that. But while clients are trying to innovate and going to virtualization in order to do that, they're also very focused on reducing costs. And on the right-hand side, you see this pie chart that is a summary of a study that Gartner had done a couple of years ago. But when John Pescatore and Neil McDonald were visiting us in Atlanta several months ago, they reminded us of this study that they had done. That says if you look at the CIO's IT labor budget, entire IT labor budget, on average, 70% of that investment is spent on keeping the lights on, just keeping the stuff you have running, and only 30% on average ends up getting spent on growing the business. Now, not only is that very unattractive, of course, because if you're a CIO, you want the majority of your IT investment to go towards growing the business. But what makes it worse is that all the regulatory compliance stuff that is still top of mind at every client, most every client you walk into, is that regulatory compliance stuff fits in the category of keeping the lights on. So the percentages are actually being pressured to get worse, to where more and more of the cost of the labor ends up being spent on just keeping the lights on, keeping out of regulatory trouble and all that stuff. And so very little is spent on actually growing the business. So from a, you know, reality point of view, if you and I as sellers can come into a client and show them how we can, A, address their innovation desires and at the same time help them change the nature of this cost to where less is spent on running the shop and more is available for innovation and or cost takeout, then we have a business value proposition that holds water. And when you sell security in that way, all of you that have done it that way know that that's the way you sell security. Because, look, we all got to get over that barrier that when people hear the word security, they get scared and they get glassy-eyed and they go, oh, geez, I'm not going to understand this, and so I'm going to check out now and all that stuff, you know, outside of the CISO. At least I hope the CISO doesn't get that way. That's a whole different problem. But the issue is that we need those non-security people to understand the value of what we're providing here. And so the two parts of this play I'm going to share with you now, you'll see fall into that category because it really are just brilliant stuff. So slide number four, once again, look, virtualization is exploding. Everybody's going to it. But I want to share a story with you about a client that I met. It's just over a year ago now. I was over at the Burton Group conference over in Prague, not this year, as the previous one. And I met with the director of IT for Eurocontrol. Now, you know, don't use the name publicly, guys, right? It was the director of IT for Eurocontrol. And he was telling me how he had gone fully virtualized. his entire data center. If you don't know, by the way, EuroControl runs the European Air Traffic Control System. So EuroControl, you've probably read about them in the news if you didn't realize it lately, because they're the ones who decide what planes get to fly through the ash cloud out of Iceland there. EuroControl, or, you know, that's one of their jobs, to figure out who gets to fly, is it safe, all that stuff. Well, the director of IT telling me I've gone fully virtualized, all based on VMware. And so, you know, being a security seller, right, I said, okay, well, hey, let's talk about security controls for that. And he stops me and says, Bob, I'm not ready for this conversation. And I'm going, what do you mean? You've already gone fully virtualized and you're not even ready to talk about security? You know, don't tell me you're going to bake it in after the fact, knowing full well, right, that most clients end up baking it in after the fact, unfortunately. But so I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, let me tell you why I'm not ready for this conversation. He says, I got a call from one of my technicians last week saying, hey, boss, this virtual machine you've assigned me to operate doesn't seem to be responding. You know, it looks like it's kind of hung. What do I do? And so the director of IT tells me. He says, so I told him to reboot it. And he says, I kid you not, I heard the guy put the phone down on the table, walk over to the wall of servers, and turn the switch off on the server that was running that virtual machine and 30 other virtual machines running the European Air Traffic Control System. All right? You go, you must be kidding me. He says, my problem is that we've gone so quickly into virtualization because of all the cost benefits and stuff that everybody knows about that it's taken a while to get our staff to understand what does it mean to run a virtualized data center. So, I mean, that's, by the way, the most extreme case I've learned, and please don't use the name publicly, right, because we want to protect the guilty here. But he said, I'm not ready for security discussion. Well, something happened on January 1st of this year. One of the things that happened is that the PCI spec, which I hope you all know, the payment card industry data security spec, has probably done more for regulatory compliance spend in the last 3 years from the credit card companies, of course, than any government body has caused. And the PCI spec announced this year, actually they announced it last year, but they said this year they're adding virtualization-specific security requirements to the PCI spec. So if you want to continue to accept credit cards and be approved, is you're going to have to show you've done something about virtualization security, which is a great problem for us. So the EuroControl example, you know, is going to be the exception. Is that what we want is we're walking into clients that have virtualization and are facing the fact that they're going to have to do something about it. Now, what's the problem? Go ahead on to slide number 5 to the really funky picture. This somewhat goofy picture that I lifted from one of the guys over at ISS typifies the problem of virtualization security today. The problem is visibility. Is that when you go to virtualized platforms, so in other words, right, let's take a simple use case to guide our discussion here. Let's say you have 5 critical servers in your business running each with its own operating system and application stack. And let's say you determine that those servers on average are only busy 10% of the time. So you go, hey, well, I want to go to a single virtualized server and move all 5 workloads into virtual machines running on a single physical server, right? That's exactly why you go to virtualization stuff. Less cost, less power consumption, less all this stuff, right? Great stuff. Well, that virtualized, those 5 virtual machines running on a physical server, that represents that open door there on this cheesy motel room. I mean, you can see the people are going in and out of the cheesy motel room, but you don't have any idea what's going on inside of that hotel room. And that is the problem with every client that has gone to virtualized systems. The security tools that are out there today operate on a physical basis. They don't work on the virtualized basis. What that means is that on all 5 of your physical servers, you no doubt had antivirus, firewalls, intrusion detection, and some other stuff running on each of those 5 servers. When you consolidate the workload onto one physical server and essentially the workloads disappear into this cheesy hotel room, is sure, you can put firewall and antivirus and intrusion prevention on that physical server that's hosting those 5 virtual machines, but what can those security tools do to see what is happening on the traffic between the virtual machines? The answer is that picture. You can't see anything. Now, some of our clients have said, oh, okay, well, look, that clearly is not acceptable, that we're going to move to strategically to these virtualized systems and then go flying blind, because that's exactly what all the clients you're going to call on are doing right now. So what a couple of our clients have done is they said, oh, that's not acceptable. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to install firewalls, intrusion prevention, et cetera, in each of the virtual machines. Well, every client I know of that's done that ended up stopping it weeks later. Why? Well, think about it. Why do you go to virtualization in the first place? Consolidate workloads, lower cost. Now you're going to put high CPU utilization security tools on every one of your virtual machines. You're going to actually defeat the purpose of why you want the virtualization in the first place. And you want to see management, you want to see the business side and IT ops laughing at security people. It's when they say, hey, how come our virtualized server all of a sudden is a lot more, is being the utilization is a lot higher than we expected to be. Oh, we had to put 5 copies of security tools in each virtual machine. I don't think you guys understand exactly what the ramifications are here. So that they end up pulling it off, and they're flying blind. So I can't articulate this to you clearly enough, guys, is that our clients are flying blind on their virtualized platforms today. Go to the next slide, slide number 6. Here's just another set of pictures that says the same thing. Before virtualization, you put security on the houses. You buy a security system for each house. After virtualization, you now have essentially an apartment building. Those security tools that they've got can see who's coming in and out of the apartment building, but you have no insight, no visibility at all what's going on between apartments 4D and 5E, you know, representing two different virtual machines. You have no idea. It's one of those things you can't believe it's this starkly nasty, but it is. And the clients are coming to realize it because they're getting pressured to, especially by PCI. That's where our opportunity comes into play. Go to slide number 7. Here's a more technical picture of it. You go from the left-hand side with a single stack, a single machine with an operating system stack and an application stack. And now you're going to a single physical server with multiple virtual machines running on it, each with its own operating system stack, each with its own application stack. Now, what's interesting about all this is if you go to slide number 8, is that just the nature of the questions is different. It's not only the fact that our clients are flying blind for security visibility in their virtualized deployments, but the questions are even different. When you go into a virtual set of systems, you get into goofy questions like, well, where are the VMs located? You can see where the physical boxes are, but when someone says, hey, where's that workload running? And if you've got 5 different physical boxes running, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30 different virtual machines in each of them, how do you even locate where that stack is? Once you find it, once you locate it, how do you make sure that the policy, the security policy is set correct within that virtual machine? You got to do it all manually. Then the next question, this one will really freak you out, are they moving around? That question that's on this slide, what does that mean? Well, VMware in particular has this totally cool feature called vMotion. What vMotion allows you to do is that if you're running, let's say, your CRM system on top of Windows or something, on a virtual machine on a certain physical server, and your management tools show you that you're kind of getting close to capacity on that server, so you want to move that workload, move that virtual machine over to another physical server that maybe has more utilization available, well, vMotion is the capability in VMware that allows you to do that, and it's brilliant. You just literally pick it up, move it over, no break in service. Well, once you move that to another box, how do you make sure the security policy is set? You got to do it manually. Now, are you telling me you're going to have people sitting around watching for vMotion movement, especially when it's taking place often, and you're going to run behind it and then get in there and make sure everything's configured correctly? From a security point of view, that's what you have to do today. So it's totally insane. Our clients realize that they're flying blind on this thing. So go to slide number 9. Once again, I've already said this 2 or 3 times, but I can't reiterate it enough. There's regulatory pressure now. PCI is adding virtualization security requirements. They're going, look, the same controls that you had in the physical world, I'm expecting you guys to have in the virtualized world. And unfortunately for our clients, unfortunately for us, until now they haven't been able to do anything about it. So if you go to slide number 10, we came out with an asset. The ISS guys developed this. The X-Force research team, which continues to be, you know, the world-class research organization in information security today, they came up with insights 3 years ago on what are the unique security concerns going to be with virtualized platforms. You know, the X-Force guys were putting blog entries out 3 years ago that were detailing the stuff that the clients are just starting to face now. And so with the X-Force behind them, the ISS development team, now of course part of Tivoli, had built this asset that we came out with back in January called IBM Virtual Server Protection for VMware, or VSP as we call it for short. The idea here is as basic as you can get in that instead of doing nothing, which obviously isn't acceptable for monitoring what's going on with security in the environment, in the virtualized environment, and instead of doing something stupid like installing security tools in each and every virtual machine, which the ops and business people, they laugh you out of the room when you suggest it, or if they catch you doing it, they go insane. Instead, we found the right approach, which is put a single secure virtual machine on top of the ESX hypervisor, the VMware hypervisors. There's ESX and ESXi. So we have a single virtual machine running on top of the VMware hypervisor with deep hooks into the hypervisor that look at everything going on between the virtual machines. So that visibility problem, we blow it up and we give full visibility into what's happening on that virtualized platform from a single virtual machine. In that secure virtual machine, we are running the ISS, you know, firewall intrusion prevention capability. And with the deep insights the X-Force research guys and gals gave us into what are the actual new vulnerabilities that are unique to a virtualized platform, such as what are the unique vulnerabilities that the software stack that VMware itself has adds to the mix here. Because just supporting all the known vulnerabilities that are out there isn't sufficient. It's clearly necessary, but not sufficient. Because there's also a new class of vulnerabilities that attack the virtualized software stacks. So how do you detect that stuff and protect against it using that same incredible virtual patching stuff that the ISS guys have had out there for what? For 10 years, whatever it is, where we can detect that something's happening that isn't supposed to be happening and actually stop it from actually hitting the back end. So let me kind of center on this slide, this slide number 10 here a little bit. Let me give you a sense of what we can do. The number one attack of the last couple of years, according to the X-Force guys, is a SQL injection attack. And if you're not familiar with the SQL injection attack, it's another one of those things you just can't believe that it's out there and so prevalent, you can't believe we've left our, you know, flanks unprotected, you might say. SQL injection attack is simple. You have a web app running on a web app server. You have an input field. A SQL statement, of course, is a structured query language. It's a database query. So that's the number one attack. What does an attack mean? Well, if you write your web app and you don't do proper input checking on the input fields, someone can throw a SQL query into, say, customer number field, and the underlying web app server is going to look at it and go, oh, I know what that is, SQL statement, let me go issue it, and out jump records on the screen. It is the number one attack. You see why. It's very easy. And all you got to do is a little social engineering and figure out what you're querying on the back end. And all of a sudden, you have records spilling out on the screen. The Heartland Payment Systems, the guys that lost over 100 million credit cards, and they still don't know exactly, what, a year and a half later, how many they lost, right? The Heartland Payment Systems one started with a SQL injection attack, right? So SQL injection is the number one attack of the last 2 years. So when you have your clients going to virtualized systems, how can you determine if a user logged into one virtual machine is actually launching a SQL injection attack on an application running in another virtual machine on the same physical server? Well, as I've said, you know, 20 times already, without this VSP asset, you have no clue that it's happening. with the VSP asset, because we are looking and examining all of the traffic going between every virtual machine. We will see that SQL statement in a strange place headed towards the application stack. We'll log it, kick out an event and alert for it, and we will block it from hitting the application. That is proper security controls. That's just one example of what we can do. We can determine all the known vulnerabilities on the traffic between the virtual machines. We also can protect against all the vulnerabilities that are known. Of course, we're researching more every day, but all the vulnerabilities on the hypervisor stack itself. We can also protect against mail code rootkits being installed in the underlying hardware that would then compromise the hypervisor. And here's one of the, I think is one of the coolest things in here, is that how do you do change management? Well, when someone launches a new virtual machine on top of this hypervisor we're looking at, how do you make sure that it's got proper patch levels in the operating system and application stack and all that stuff? Well, because we've integrated into the VMware hypervisor, the VMware hypervisor, when someone asks to kick off a new virtual machine, hands it to us, hands it to VSP to scan it, analyze it, and fix any problems. And then once it's done, it's all automated, then VMware will let that VMware, new VM, actually get instantiated. And that's tight integration. Now, the way we did this tight integration, by the way, is by working with VMware for several years. VMware was the first and still only virtualization provider to realize that they need to open up hooks into the hypervisor for qualified security tools. So in the vSphere 4 platform, they came out with something called the VMSafe APIs. VMSafe API. And the VMSafe API literally allows a tool like ours to actually sit within the hypervisor through these API calls and look at all the traffic that's going on. So we use that tight integration and are able to provide this class of service. Now, we're not the only ones that have written to this VMSafe API. However, we are the only ones to do it in an enterprise class way. And the proof of that is when Neil McDonald was visiting us last December, the ISS team in Atlanta took him through a live demo of it. And, you know, he had that typical analyst sort of, okay, another tool from another vendor, spare me. And when he said, wait a minute, is that using the same database from your X-Force team that all your appliances use? And we're like, yeah, it's the same stuff. All of a sudden, notebook comes open, and he starts furiously writing notes. And it was another 45 minutes that we went on and on and on about it. And so Neil was duly impressed, as he should be, because this is an enterprise-grade solution. If you look at the next slide, slide number 11, here's some of the other folks that have invested here. You see VSP in the first column, Altor, Reflex, Trend, McAfee, Catbird is yet another one out there. I think McAfee partners with them. McAfee and Trend partner, one of those partners with Catbird. All these weird little companies, look, they saw the opportunity here, and they wrote this little veneer. Compare a little veneer on top of the VMSafe API with the same world-class IPS firewall, et cetera, that ISS has had in their appliances for thousands of clients for, you know, a decade. Now, not only do we have that quality of enterprise-grade protection, but all the events and alerts from this VSP tool, where do they go? They go into ISS Site Protector. What does ISS Site Protector do? It gives you a single place to monitor those security events. Where can they then go? You can then feed them automatically into TSIEM if you want it to provide a single console. You guys all know what TSIEM does for monitoring and reporting, and now all the virtualization security events can also end up in there. Absolute brilliance. So this VSP solution is innovative, it's new, it's exciting, and as a veteran of at least 50 sales calls this year where this topic was one of the main topics, I'm telling you, the clients all want to talk about it. So slide 12 just kind of give you the business side of it. You're managing risks. You're maintaining compliance because you're putting in the repeatable controls. And then the operational efficiencies of doing this from a single place and setting a policy centrally and enforcing it instead of doing it with each virtual machine. Now, slide 13, the folks, look, I mean, I've spent years, a lot of you know me from my past life at Tivoli, and, you know, I spent years talking to, you know, salespeople about don't just call on the security officer, call on the business people, et cetera. Well, look, in this case, the first person you're going to call on is the CISO, because the CISO is the one who's going to realize the need. But then what you're going to find is you're going to also end up through the CISO to working with operations, because the operations folks are the ones who have deployed the virtualized platforms, right? But the value prop here is very, very simple. Now, one thing you're going to run into is you're going to go in, you're going to say, visibility problem, here's what that visibility problem is. They're going to go, oh, yeah, I sure do have that problem. Then they're going to say, okay, well, what do I need? And you're going to say, well, it's VMware, and it requires the vSphere 4 platform, which came out last fall. And they're going to say, oh, you know, maybe half of the time they're going to say to you, oh, well, we have plans to go to vSphere 4, but we're not there yet. We're looking at that for later this year or next year. Right, so that's the one thing you're going to run into, is that it requires the vSphere 4 platform within VMware, because that's the first time that they start shipping these VMSafe APIs. So when they say that, right, it's just like, okay, well, do you have plans to get there? And I haven't had one customer yet that says, we're definitely going to get there. Some clients, it's a month from now. Some, it's 6 months from now. But you at least tee up the conversation, right, so you have this going in as they do the upgrade. All right, and also our business partners. Look, I mean, a lot of you know, I mean, I'm the director of our global partner sales on the Security Tiger team across all the brands, and we have an incredible set of business partners on board that are selling cross-brand for us and have sold a lot of virtualization stuff. I mean, a lot of our partners out there, even the ones that aren't our security partners, survived the last couple of years by doing server consolidations. So this is just the logical next thing for them to sell. I've got a partner out of Houston, for example, that wasn't doing a whole lot with us. And what happened is they said, oh, my gosh, you know, we've got, you know, 100 server consolidation clients. That's what we've done for the last 2 years while the economy tanked. And this is the next thing to sell them. So now they're going into each of those clients and saying, hey, now we've got your controls for that environment. And it's a very, very positive. So slide 14 shows you some links. There's a lot of stuff we have in this VSP asset. One of the things you'll learn as you dig into this with a client is that you'll get into some clients that you may not have gotten into before with this one, because it's such a near universal need, and it's a very grainy type solution, meaning you can really get your hands around it, and clients really understand what the need is. And sometimes they'll look at your IBM card and go, geez, you know, this is probably really expensive. I mean, guys, this only starts out at like $5,000 a server, and that's just a start. I mean, it's a very aggressive price, innovative, enterprise-class solution, and there's a compelling reason to add for these clients, so it's beautiful. So slide 15, and we'll close up with this first half. Once again, a couple things. Do you need Site Protector? Yeah. I mean, truthfully, you can buy a copy of VSP and put it in without Site Protector, but all it's going to do is kind of show you some stuff. You can't really configure it. So you're going to need the Site Protector thing to do it. And, of course, Site Protector can manage multiple instances of it, which is one of the great benefits, consistent policy management. If a client doesn't have vSphere 4, they need that. And then some of you may have heard of the IBM Security Virtualized Network Security Platform, VNSP. What that was is we took our IPS capability and tested it to make sure that it could run within a single virtual machine. So if you have a client that has, say, 5 virtual machines on a single physical server, and they determine there's only one of those virtual machines is risk management sensitive enough to need IPS, then you can run this VNSP solution we have right in that virtual machine. But what this VSP solution is it says, wait a minute, I can give you a single virtual machine that provides those services on behalf of all the virtual machines with a single policy management and all that stuff. All right, so that's the difference. So that's the first part of this play, virtualization security. Go prospect for it because it's low-hanging fruit. The second part, this will be a slightly shorter one, but the second part of this play for Q3 is leveraging another dynamic that we discovered earlier this year. I mean, kudos to the product management team on Tivoli Security, because what they realize is that once a client buys, say, TIM for user provisioning or TAM for either single sign-on or access control or a combination of the both, right, or they buy TFIM, you know, to do a federated project, whatever it is that they end up coming back to us at some time point down the road and saying, okay, we're ready to expand our identity management stuff. And then they'll start looking at roles, or they'll start looking at SIEM, right, or they'll start looking at privileged user management. And so what we noticed is that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity with these clients that they're sitting there with a single product of ours, and they're ready to go pay the maintenance bill. And we're going, well, look, you've articulated that over the next year or two in your vision, you're going to need a lot of these pieces. So why don't you buy it now? And why don't you buy it now at a, you know, very aggressive price? And so cost takeout, I don't think I need to go through that. I mean, everybody wants to cut costs. And there's a lot of the projects that are out there, right, are span what we would call the basic controls of identity management, from user account and role management, to single sign-on, to fine-grained entitlements, to federation, to security to user activity audit, better known as SIEM, and privileged user management. So what our product management team did, to their credit, is they said, well, let's take advantage of these economic drivers and pull together a single bundle that provides all of it. So the client may only be deploying two or three pieces of it in the next 3 months, but because the stuff all works together and is integrated, we'll get it to them now so they can get it in-house, they can play with it, and they can be more prepared when they actually deploy this stuff. So we came out with the IAA bundle, right, which is the Identity Access Assurance bundle, which combines the three major keys, the basic identity management, such as user provisioning, the access management piece with entitlements, and then, of course, the compliance and auditing, which is always big. And that's on slide 17. You can see kind of the basic value of what stuff we've put into this Identity Access Assurance solution. And so slide 18 gives you the details. We've essentially taken the unified single sign-on stuff, right? So FIMTAM and ESSO, Tivoli Identity Manager, the TSIM stuff, TAMOS, et cetera. We've put that into a single bundle that actually allows us to go out with a single PID and actually sell this to the client. And I've seen several cases this year where the client's going, well, I've got TIM, I'm looking at TAM, and we can then go do a successful sale and actually sell them more sooner. It's a beautiful, beautiful, and so the cost takeout, I hope you can see this, the cost takeout here is that what they would spend on each solution individually buying it over time over the next few years would be far more than what we charge for the bundle. And so this is what we want the clients to do. So go to slide 19. So why would the customers buy it? Well, duh. I mean, it's the whole reason why they've done identity access assurance, identity management, all around compliance, reducing operational costs from help desk, et cetera, right? I've given you some key phrases to listen to. I assume most of the folks on this line, this is old hat for, because this is the kind of stuff that that we've been selling for 10, 11 years here. And so, but once again, it's identity management and access management. And don't forget this last one, visibility. I found visibility is one of those magic words for the clients right now. And the fact that we can show visibility is key across both the virtualized piece that I shared first as well as this bundle. Now, the target customer profile is typically going to be enterprise clients, and, you know, it's going to be the same folks we've been calling on. It's just, once again, we're giving them, in the latter case, a financial transaction. In the former case, we're helping them identify and fill a gaping visibility hole with their virtualization deployments. So slide 20, prospecting. So key questions, obviously, if you had any audit findings. You know, it's kind of amazing to me. It's still, compliance continues to be the biggest driver for this stuff. And cost takeout is a great driver. Innovation is a great driver. But this compliance stuff continues to be, take it from a, yeah, I ought to do something someday, into a, shoot, I really need to do something now. And that's beautiful for us, right? But that's good. How do you monitor, enforce, and report? That's the visibility piece. How do you manage security for your privileged users? Is strong authentication required, right? All of this stuff identifies areas that we can address through the solution. So slide 21, a couple of seller strategies for success. You know, because being on the Tiger team, I have this wonderful capability every day. In fact, I just got off a client call right before this call. I have this wonderful experience of sitting with clients and being able to listen to, okay, well, where are your security concerns? And it used to be when you'd ask that, you'd get a fairly narrow set of things, but today it's all over the board. But when you listen to what they really care about, that, of course, gives you an indicator of where they've probably put some money behind it. And you're going to hear about cost often, and you're going to hear about the virtualization stuff. And if you don't hear on the virtualization stuff, because I have found that probably in at least a third of the cases, I've had to prompt the discussion, because when you sit with a CISO, often the first thing they're thinking is not the virtualization piece. They're thinking about the other myriad of disasters that they're dealing with. And so if you say, well, what about virtualization? And they love to talk about it because it is the stuff that's hot in the business and everybody, you know, all the business people are doing it and pressuring them on it. So if you bring it up, they want to talk about it. And when you articulate to them the gaping hole, if they're not already aware of it, they go, oh, shoot, well, I was thinking about putting security in each virtual machine, but I don't think that would work. And you're like, no, it won't, but I got the solution for you there. So understand their environment and listen to what they really care about the most. I mean, I know that's C-spot run, right? But we're listening for cost, you're listening for virtualization or innovation, and then tie it. As soon as you hear innovation, say, oh, yeah, yeah, virtualization is kind of the path to innovation these days for people. And then, of course, compliance. The second piece here is just, you know, educate them on what we can do to help here. Make sure they understand, number three, is that we didn't just write a shim on top of the VMSafe APIs. And we didn't just bundle a bunch of stuff together and that doesn't work together, right, and say, here you go. In the virtualization piece, we've got the same enterprise class capability that the ISS has been doing for a decade on all the non-virtualized platforms. And then with the IAA bundle, we've got the integration between TIM-TAM, TSIEM, TFIM, and all that stuff, right? So we truly have a differentiated set because of the integration that we have and that, you know, that the team has delivered. Now, number four is really key. Make sure you have a tight evaluation period. None of us likes those ongoing POC type deals. And where you see those is when the scope and the requirements gets all messed up, et cetera, right? So the ability to actually say, okay, what are the requirements here, and here's what we're going to do, and if we come in and do this, will you buy at the end of the period? I know from the Security Tiger team point of view, this is one area that we've noticed, is that when we have the deal, you know, the deal that keeps moving out quarter to quarter to quarter to quarter, it's because we haven't, you know, asked the simple question, you know, confronted the client essentially to say, look, we're willing to put in time on this, and we know that this is big stuff for you. We're willing to put in time, but assuming that this POT, POC, whatever we're doing with the client matches up, I assume you're going to do something here. And you got to ask that question, because if you don't, it's amazing the times that you assume, yeah, we know they're going to buy, and then you get to the end of it, they go, oh, well, actually, we've got this other crisis, and this one has actually been put off for 4 months. And you go, oh, great, thanks. So anyways, tight evaluation period with an end game in sight, explicitly discussed with the client, and then partner with the right people at the client, because once again, we can help them get that visibility so you can see, to go back to my analogy or metaphor, I guess, of the apartment building, we give them that visibility. We give them the cameras in the hallways of the apartment building and can help them do that stuff and make them more successful. So our call to action on this, we'll open up to Q&A, I assume, here in a few minutes. But the call to action is, you know, get out there and call 3 accounts within the next 3 weeks on this virtualization piece. I've done it dozens and dozens of times this year, and I can tell you that they all want to talk about this. They've all done virtualization. Maybe 1 or 2 out of 10 will not be using VMware and using Microsoft virtualization or, you know, some IBM stuff or something else. But the vast majority will be VMware-based, and you'll find that it's a discussion that they want to have. And then the beautiful part about it is not only are they fascinated with this discussion, but then it gives you permission to then talk about the rest of the stuff that we have to the client, right? Virtualization is your wedge to get in, and then it gives you permission that, hey, did you realize that that same engine providing this support, we can support for the rest of your infrastructure, right? So with all the rest of the ISS stuff, and then we can feed all the events into the Tivoli asset, the TSIM asset. You see, it opens you up to have a much broader discussion about everything that we do with the client. Now, we've got a tactic code set for this, so please use that so we can track this to make sure it's being used. The second call to action is around the bundle. It's once again, I've been on many calls with some of you probably on the line this year where we go in and we say, well, look, we have this bundle. And the client goes, well, shoot, I'm going to buy three or four of those anyways at some point. So, yeah, especially if you're going to give me this price now, that makes sense for me to do this. Third is take advantage of the executive briefing centers. For example, we've got a great one in Atlanta. We've got a great one in Austin. We've got the executive briefing centers where we can bring the executive team in. We can bring myself, Kent Blossom, the VP of the Tiger team, the other Tigers. We can come in and cover kind of cross-brand thing with the client because there's no doubt that when the client says, well, shoot, not only can I do this virtualization stuff, and with this IAA bundle, I can get that visibility piece. But, wow, if you actually start talking to me about that Guardium stuff that Information Management acquired, Guardium now feeds its events into TSIEM. So all of a sudden, you see the integration that we have going on between the parts of our portfolio that really blows away the CSOs because they go, my gosh, okay, you guys have kind of started to separate yourself from the pack. Because, look, I mean, sure, so we battle against Oracle all the time. What does Oracle have for infrastructure security? Zip. We run across Symantec all the time. What do they have for identity management? Zip. They tried and got out of the business, what, 5-6 years ago. There's no one that can address information security across the stack like we can, and we've gone beyond just compiling a lot of really good piece parts to actually integrating this stuff together. And we're actually able to show more proof points than anybody in the industry right now. And when we do executive briefings, we're able to get that point across to the client, and they go, wow, okay, I see. Not only do you have great stuff, but I can see the handwriting on the wall because you're already starting to deliver it, that you're increasingly integrating this stuff. And that's a very, very positive message. And then the final piece on call to action is make sure to leverage the additional sales resources that we have, such as the service management resource site you see here, where you can get a whole lot of very good materials. So slide 23, I'll do 23, 24, and then we'll end. We'll turn over for a few minutes of Q&A. Is these two pieces I've showed you here, the IAA bundle as well as the virtualization asset, low-hanging fruit, are essentially part of our much larger security strategy. Our security strategy, which, of course, is documented by the IBM Security Framework that you see on this slide, is all around helping our clients put in repeatable and testable controls over governing access to their sensitive business assets. And those repeatable and testable controls is key. We've actually identified what are the most critical repeatable and testable controls that our clients have to deal with. And we've documented them across, of course, these five layers: people and identity, or users, data, applications, infrastructure, physical plant. So what we've come out with is a tool, if you haven't seen it yet, called the IBM Security Whiteboard, where we cheat a little bit. We combine the bottom two layers just because of the asset size and stuff. But if you go to slide number 24, this very scary thing is something we actually end up drawing in front of a lot of clients when we have, an hour and a half, 2 hours with them, of what are the actual security controls that are critical to them across each of these layers, and then what are the assets we have to help them with those controls. So what we've shared with you on this sales play call is that in almost that entire top layer of people and identity, right, the IAA bundle has a majority of those assets. We also talked about at the bottom and the middle the virtualized one, the virtual server protection, which I can't believe it. I've got a typo there. It's VSP, not VSS, forgive me, on the virtualized security in the bottom middle box. But anyway, so those are the two we talked about, but you realize when we do an executive briefing with a client, we can cover the entire gamut. and it just blows the clients away. The word I've been sick of hearing this year is surprised. I mean, it's nice to hear it, but then once you've heard it the 20th, 30th time, you get a little tired of it. They go, the clients will always say, they'll say, I'm very surprised. I didn't realize that you could do all this for me, right? And it's our job to get it out there and make sure that on these two very important, somewhat tactical plays here, that we can get the virtualization piece and that we can get that identity layer with the bundle taken care of. So that's it for formal presentation materials. I'll turn it over now to the operator, Setter, to see if we can do Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. One moment, please. Please stand by for the first question. Your first question comes from Luis Landinez. Your line is open.
Hello, Bob. Great presentation. I have a question regarding the VSP.
Yeah.
And this is a customer situation that they are moving. It's a retailer. They have to comply with PCI.
Yep.
They need to, or they're moving everything to the VMware environment, including the payments application. So they just want to make sure the payment application is under compliance and take the rest of the virtual environment out of the PCI scope.
Mm-hmm.
And just to double check on something, does a single policy management of the VSP will allow the customer to isolate that payment application out of from a security standpoint and leave the other piece outside of the PCI? Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. So you can configure, you know, which stacks, which application stack, and which operating system stack you're actually going to do the scanning against.
Okay.
Right? Because at the end of the day, one thing I want to make sure it's very clear, and by the way, that what you just articulated is a not uncommon scenario, right? They've gone to virtualization, they're worried about
yes.
compliance, and they see this coming storm. So it's a perfect opportunity for us. So the thing you want to make sure we do is we not oversell it. What we are putting in is security controls to monitor and manage all the traffic between the virtual machines, and you can limit, right, which ones you're paying attention to.
Okay.
And at the same time, provide the policy management, and what I mean, because, of course, that's a generic term,
mm-hmm.
what I mean by policy management is that ability to say, what is the security policy for scanning and protection, right, with the firewalling and stuff, but also when those new virtual machines come up, I can detect it and actually make sure those are securely configured, right? That's
okay.
what I mean by the policy management side. So that's the stuff that this thing really does. And so, yeah, it sounds like a great match for your client.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
And in fact, for everybody on the line, if you look at slide 27, I think that ended up making it in. I put two backup slides. That gives you kind of a rundown of these very specific features that are in VSP. If not, I'll send it to you, but I'm pretty sure it's in the posted version.
Next question, James Martin.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple of quick questions here. The first one, I just want to clarify, make sure I'm speaking correctly. I've been hearing VSS, Virtual Security Server, for quite some time. Now VSP, are those one and the same, or can you kind of position those, please, to make sure I...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've done nothing to stop that confusion either by putting VSS on the grid slide. So when the product came out, it was called VSS, Virtual Server Security.
Okay.
And then we recently changed the name to Virtual Server Protection for VMware. So when you hear VSS, it's actually VSP. VSP is the official product name now.
Okay.
VSS was the old one.
All right, cool. Thank you. One last quick question. I also see the PGP encryption that I know we use internally. Is that something we resell?
Well, yeah, so that one is probably the weakest control on the page, to be honest with you. So until last month, we actually resold PGP actively from the ISS team, and then we left that partnership with GTS when we merged, you know, the ISS product assets into Tivoli. I've been told that that PGP, the active reseller relationship, actually doesn't exist anymore. So I leave that on the whiteboard just because if you don't talk about encryption, people go, how could you claim this to be a comprehensive security whiteboard, right?
Yeah, I guess my next question is, I'm hearing more from my customers wanting encryption solutions for USBs and DVDs and other peripheral devices. Do we have an answer for that type of requirement?
Yeah, so our answer right now for it is, hey, we're friendly with PGP. Go talk to them because they're actually quite good at it.
Does that do USBs and other devices as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't resell it?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
So note to Joe Anthony, who I'm sure is listening in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another requirement.
I think it's going to become a bigger requirement in the future.
I don't doubt it.
Bob, Dinesh, what I'd like to point out here is what we're seeing in the market is now, especially with Microsoft, Windows 7, and others, there's a lot of, you know, free software that is encryption software at the desktop level that are coming in. So anybody who deploys a new version of Windows, they'll have that capability. So again, there are other solutions available, some freeware that customers can use. Probably.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just another thing. So if you're in a meeting, right, let's say you sit down with a client and they say, my biggest priority is encryption, and your heart sinks, right? You go, oh, crap. What you do is point out that our perspectives, first of all, we've got partners, right, lowercase p partners like PGP that we're more than happy to work with on it. What I typically say to the client, because it usually comes up after we've had some intros and stuff, is I'll say, look, encryption is a very mature part of the market. Sure, it's growing, but it's a mature part of the market, and there's lots of other people that do it really well. So our focus at IBM, as with lots of things, is on managing that, right? So what we want to help you do is manage encryption in your environment, which to us means help you manage those keys, and then you bring up TKLM, right? So so the client can see that, you know, we're not, like, asleep at the switch here by not having a, you know, encryption. And by the way, I mean, those of you purists on the line will realize, I mean, we have some encryption in some of our storage stuff, right, that I didn't put on the whiteboard here, because it's kind of special case stuff generally. But, I mean, we do have some encryption built into some of the storage hardware, and we do have TKLM for managing the encryption keys. But I've found that when you redirect that discussion into a, hey, we want to manage the keys for you, you can get the encryption anywhere you want, but we'll manage it for you, then that actually leads to a useful conversation, and you can then get onto the stuff that we would have a more tight solution for.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Next question, Matt Poland.
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
Let's go, Matt.
Hey, I got a question about the identity and access assurance bundle pricing. So how do you count the users if the bundle is going to be using for, like, TAMOS and TSIM and not really ITIM?
Yeah, I'm going to ask my friend Dinesh to comment on that if he knows, because I actually have not gotten deep enough into the pricing to answer that intelligently.
Yeah, so Matt, pretty good question here based on the way we manage these products, different products. So the way to count is just think of TIM or TAM. You know, we count internal, external users.
Mm-hmm.
And once you deploy this solution, as long as we are using TSIM or other products like TAMOS to protect those environments where we have installed this TIM, TAM, and all these other components, it's covered under the license. And also, as long as we are managing the same users, you know, you're logging the events related to those users that are licensed, it's covered pretty much.
Okay.
So, you know, for legal reasons, you know, we can talk offline, but definitely as long as you're managing the same users and you configured your TIM, TAM on those servers, which one, where you want to deploy TimeOS or TSIM, everything is covered under the same license.
Okay. I might give you a call offline with some more specifics on that. So, thanks.
Next question, Joe Carafillo. Please check your mute button, sir. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Bob.
Hey.
I had something I wanted to comment on to add another piece of information to your discussion about VSP.
Mm-hmm.
When the product is formally renamed VSP and added to Passport Advantage in the upcoming release and later in the fall, One thing that's also being done that I think the rest of the audience would find interesting is that it will also include a limited license to Site Protector. One of the circumstances as they exist today, if a customer licenses the product as it is right now, if it was a small deployment, if one of your examples, if they were licensing only five, licensing the product for just five VMware images, they would find that their cost would double if they once they included a Site Protector license. So the plan is to bundle limited license to Site Protector in the product with the update when it moves to Passport Advantage. So I thought I would just point that out.
Oh, that's wonderful, Joe. Very, very helpful. Yeah. We're not accused of misleading them on the price, right?
Yeah. For example, the customer wanted one instance. They, as you said, they pay $5,000 to $7,000, then they pay many times that amount just for the management.
Right. Yeah. Well said. Thank you.
Next question, John Murdoch.
Hello, Bob. Another great presentation, and I think we can probably find some opportunities, but we can't really put the opportunities aren't real until they exist in Siebel. And I'm wondering if you or Dinesh can coach us on how we put this into Siebel so it's properly represented.
That's a great question. And John Murdoch, the legend. It's good to hear from you.
Nice to hear, Bob.
Dinesh, I'll let you comment on that.
John. What is the question? Can you repeat the question, please?
Happy to, Dinesh. Bob just showed us a great way this morning to go off and find an opportunity, but I think all of us on the phone know that it's not really an opportunity until it's reflected in Siebel, put into ASFT. So how do we represent this kind of opportunity into ASFT? Or into Siebel, rather. How do we put this opportunity in? Because it doesn't really exist right now in Siebel. It's kind of like the whole ISS stack, which we all get to sell. There's no real way to put that into Siebel today.
Okay. I was not aware of that issue. Maybe let me take this and get
one of those fun things Kevin left for you to do, I think.
Okay. I mean, is it just because probably since we are putting it as a software paid now in Passport Advantage, so definitely it will show up as a part number or at least one of the options when you enter the Siebel opportunities?
It does not currently.
Okay.
So right now what I'm doing is, or what now what I'm limited to do is, it can only be a validated opportunity. It can't go any further because when it goes to qualified, it says, no, you got to put in a detailed opportunity. So right now I say I have a software that's Tivoli security opportunity, but I have no detail for it. So it won't show up in the performance view either.
Okay, good feedback. We'll get this fixed, I think, so you have an option available to choose within Siebel.
Okie doke. Thank you.
A little present for you, Dinesh.
Your next question, Reiner Barcel.
Yeah, hi, Bob. As usual, great presentation. I just wanted to add something to how to use TSIEM, the former TSIM, within the IA bundle. I don't think it was clear enough that when you sell the IA bundle, the TSIEM is included, but not the compliance modules for the different regulations like HIPAA, etc. I just wanted to make sure that this is understood.
Oh, that's great, Reiner. Thank you so much for making that clarification. For those of you who don't know Reiner, he's been a partner of ours for a long time over at SPS right now. So thanks for adding that in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
There are no other questions at this time.
Well, this is Marion Raines again. Thank you all for participating in this call. Thank you, Bob and Dinesh, for the great insight and feedback. There's links and tools available to you to start prospecting on these topics and a lot of resources that are ready to help you. So reach out to any of us, and I guess with that, we'll close the call.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Speakers, please stand by.